All right. So here we are. Father, I just thank you in Jesus' name that you're with us now, that, Lord, your word is fuel to people in seasons like this. Lord, I pray that people will really hear from heaven today. And I thank you for the opportunity. In the name of the Lord, amen. Amen. Well, I spoke a message to our team, to our staff during the week. And the message, I had so many people tell me you should share that with the whole church. And so that's exactly what I'm going to do. And the title is this: Spiritual Wealth, Better Self, Mental Health. You got that? Spiritual wealth, better self, mental health. God made us in three parts, yet one person: body, soul, and spirit. And it works almost like the Trinity. It's one God: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they're not working against each other. They have this beautiful symmetry. They work together, and it's powerful. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they don't have a committee meeting about decisions that are made. You can't imagine that the Lord says, I'm going to make it rain today. And Jesus says, look, I think hold off on the rain for a few more days. And then the Holy Spirit, he just acts like a mediator. That's not how it works. They've got this beautiful symmetry, and we're at our best when our body, our soul, and our spirit are all working together in the same direction to see God's purposes established in our lives. I think it's important. And so, is that how we're living? Sometimes we think, well, I'll look after this part of my life. You know, I care about my spiritual life, but I'm really not too concerned about my physical condition, etc. And so, spiritual wealth. You know, so many people have a one-dimensional idea of wealth. And that's what's being mightily tested for a lot of people right now. We've got one of our songs, Ben Hastings sings it, and it talks about my wealth is in the cross. Sometimes I think even when we sing that, some people, they might be thinking, well, we're talking about financial blessing, but really, it's talking about the wealth we have in Christ and the wealth we have in Jesus. And for us to know spiritual wealth, spiritual health, then we need to really remember the power of the cross. Because 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, I already mentioned during our giving, it says, command those who are rich, maybe you're not feeling like you're so rich, in this present age, not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches. Don't ever put your trust in uncertain riches. Thank God if he blesses you. But we learn quickly that money, you can't put your trust there. We've got to trust, like the Bible says, in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. What does God do? He blesses us. He gives us richly all things, eternal things, his promise, all things to enjoy. Babylon was a wealthy city. Babylon in the Old Testament, it was a pagan city, but they had these merchant ships. And to be honest with you, they were bringing great prosperity and great blessing to Babylon. But the scripture talks about it in Revelation chapter 18, verse 19. It says this: they threw their dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, alas, alas, that great city, in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth. For in one hour, she is made desolate. That's incredible. And they couldn't, ultimately, well, they learned, they couldn't put their trust in just the natural wealth because it was taken from them in 1 hour. Don't you kind of feel like life feels like that a bit right now? I mean, a virtual hour. It happened so quick. I don't think very many people at all, if any, prophesied exactly what this year would look like by the end of March and throughout April, and who knows how many more weeks into the future. You just don't know. And so where we put our trust is important. But that verse, what does it say? It says, listen to it, they became rich by her wealth, and in 1 hour she was made, Babylon was made desolate. Well, you know something? You feel maybe like you are losing it all. You've lost everything. You've lost it all. But if your wealth is in the cross, You may have taken a big hit, but you've never lost it all. That word desolate in the Hebrew, it means astonished, astounded. It means causes horror or causing consternation. It actually means also in the Hebrew laid waste or ruin. But listen to the Greek. In the Greek, the Bible word desolation, it's talking about desecration or devastation. But listen, that results from being cut off. This is directly from the Strong's Concordance. What does it say? It says that desolation is the result of being cut off, and it puts in there, in parenthesis, isolated. Well, it's kind of the time that we're living in, isn't it? Where so many people are cut off or isolated. But it's always a good time to also ask ourselves, where really is our wealth? Is our wealth in the cross? I do know there are a lot of people who are right now a part of our service, and you've taken a big hit. And so, firstly, I want you to know that our prayers are with you, and our love and our support is with you. But I also want to remind you again, when you've got stronger foundations, you've never lost anything. Joel 2:25, it just shows the nature of the God we serve. It says, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, every kind of locust, the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. The Lord is saying, I will restore those years. And we've got a restorative God. That's in his nature. It's in his character. It's who he is. Let's believe together the ruins are going to come to life in Jesus' name. So spiritual wealth. Another old, old song. It went like this. My spirit's alive and my heart's on fire. My spirit's alive and my heart's on fire. Yeah. Yep. There it is. That's my song for the weekend. Well, listen, my spirit's alive. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 in the Message says, spirit can be known only by spirit. God's spirit and our spirits in open communion, spiritually alive. I love that. We have access to everything, everything. And to how much? Everything God's spirit is doing. Spiritually alive. Spiritual wealth. There's some things that maybe people depend on, but they're not really necessarily in themselves signs that you're spiritually alive. I mean, you could be so highly educated, and education is great. Knowledge is critical. It's important. It's the first stage to wisdom. But listen to me, don't put your trust in your knowledge. Sadly, there are people who are theologians, but they're spiritually dead. They don't have that ongoing relationship encounter with the Lord. There's not that active sense that God is present in my life. I read something about a psychologist, psychiatrists, and just what percentage themselves struggle with depression or mental health problems. It's kind of ironic, but it just shows that just because I know something doesn't mean I'm applying it to my own life. And so let's not ever focus on knowledge. And also, spiritual wealth is not measured by longevity. In other words, how long you've been a Christian, how long you've been saved. In fact, sometimes I think it's exactly the opposite. In other words, it's people who just are new to faith, but they're so spiritually alive. Because why? They're on fire for God. Are we on fire for God? What does it even look like? Do we believe God for spiritual wealth, for us to be overflowing spiritually? It's not something that's distant from you or far from you. It's never about the number of days you've been saved. Spiritual wealth also, it's not measured by spirituality. I would say that to be spiritual or to be spiritually alive aren't necessarily the same thing. There's a lot of people out there that they consider themselves to be spiritual, but they don't necessarily have a revelation of Jesus. And so spiritually alive doesn't just mean that you are spiritual. In Romans chapter 1, it talks a lot about people. Listen what it says in verse 22. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, no praise, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And then it says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. It goes on, by the way, verse 25, and talks about those who exchange the truth for a lie. And listen, they worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. Some people, they're spiritual, but they're on this path of all paths lead to God. And it's actually called universalism. And so we've got to be so careful that we're not just spiritual people, but that we know the faith in Jesus causes me to be spiritually alive. The Holy Spirit residing within me enables me to be spiritually alive. There's actually a thing I was reading about called the scandal of particularity. It's a theological term, the scandal of particularity. And this is what it's talking about. The difficulty of regarding a single individual human, Jesus, as being the savior for all humans. And so, yes, you might consider yourself spiritual, but do you struggle with the idea of particularity, the scandal of particularity, that it's not just any way, it's Jesus Christ, it's only through him, it's only through the Holy Spirit we'll really ever know spiritual wealth. Well, to be spiritually alive is not to be legalistic and judgmental. I don't think anyone wakes up in the morning and says to themselves or thinks to themselves, I'm going to become self-righteous. That's not how it works. In fact, usually self-righteousness can't even be seen by self. It just means that somewhere it crept up on you, maybe because you were not spiritually alive. It's amazing how as you go on, you can have different rules for everybody else than you have for yourself. That's what self-righteous looks like. Judgmental attitudes, legalism, it's never changed anybody. It's never, ever revolutionized anybody's life. So that's certainly not being spiritually alive. That's not spiritual wealth. No, let's decide that I am spiritually alive. To be spiritually alive, it's more than belonging to a church. You can be in church life, you can be part of community, you can raise your hands in the worship, but you can also in that not necessarily be growing in your faith and increasing when it comes to spiritual. Well, can I challenge you in this season to decide, I am going to thank my God for spiritual wealth. I'm going to believe I am spiritually alive. You watch then how you hear from heaven. You watch then how God will give you direction in a difficult time when perhaps in the night season you can't see which way to go. You can trust God. And so how do you measure spiritual wealth? Well, I think a revelation of God's omnipotence, that's God's all-powerful, God's omnipresence, I mean, God's everywhere. Yes, everywhere, everywhere around us, but also everywhere, past, present, and future, and omniscience. Now think about that for a moment. You break it down, it's omniscience. Well, my definition of science would be the pursuit of knowledge. It's very broad. Thank God for the advances that science has brought to humanity. I'm believing science will find an answer to the coronavirus right now. And so science, it's amazing. But the pursuit of knowledge, humanity's come so far. But God is omniscient. The point is, he already knows. He's already there. God's always one step ahead of us. So let's look to him as we determine to be spiritually alive. To be spiritually alive is a revelation of Jesus and a deepening love affair with Jesus. Really, obviously, a revelation of his cross, a revelation of his resurrection life. To be spiritually alive, I think, is a revelation of the authority you have in Christ. And I think to be spiritually alive is to have that revelation of God's glory, God's goodness, God's grace. Thank God that his glory is our portion, that his goodness, that his grace is our portion. Let's at this time decide. I'm going to believe God for spiritual wealth in my life. My second point, spiritual wealth, your best self. What am I really talking about there? I did a series not so long ago about self, but I really was talking about self as ego. But in this instance, I'm talking about self in terms of the whole you, your whole persona. And I'm thinking specifically about our physical life, spirit, soul, and body. You might think, well, look, I love Jesus and I'm spiritually alive, but other things don't matter. It matters. They all knit together. I love the way your spirit, your soul, and your body, they interlock. And you're going to be at your best when they're all in harmony, all working together. I think in this season, we need to give attention to our physical health. I really do believe that we need to give special attention to our physical health. I'm in no condition right now to be lecturing anyone on this. And so I challenge myself, I challenge you, because usually if you're sloppy in one area of your life, you're sloppy in all areas of your life. Proverbs 4, for example, it challenges you spiritually, but it also talks about the reward physically. It says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Health to your physical condition. Health to your flesh. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, the bodily exercise profits a little. He doesn't say it doesn't profit at all. He said it profits a little. But I was reflecting on that and I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. I was thinking about Jesus and they got plenty of exercise. I mean, Paul, when he wasn't being shipwrecked or when he wasn't in jail or asleep, he was on these missionary journeys. I mean, he must have walked so far. Maybe at times it was a donkey. The Bible doesn't say that. Maybe a chariot. Bible doesn't say that. There was a lot of exercise. There was a lot of walking. And for Jesus, well, I did the Jesus trek, the Jesus walk all the way from Nazareth to the Sea of Galilee, to Capernaum. And believe me, it was doable. It was quite doable, but it was very undulated. It was kind of not just a plain, a flat walk. In fact, in some parts, it was very, very steep. And so, yes, bodily exercise may just benefit or profit a little, but the reality is that the people who were speaking, there's no doubt about it, they were getting plenty of exercise. Let's look after ourselves. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 5 says, the fool folds his hands and consumes his own flesh. In other words, maybe we just get lazy, we get gluggy, we sit in our favorite chair. Nothing wrong with that. Imbalance. But the fool folds his hands and what happens? It consumes his flesh. In other words, it has a physical impact. Solomon talks about gratifying the flesh. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 3, he said, I searched my heart, how to gratify my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom. He wanted it both ways. And how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven all the days of their lives. The way I read that, he kind of wanted it both ways. He wanted to gratify the flesh. Nothing wrong with the odd delicacy, nothing wrong sometimes with things in moderation, but to live to gratify the flesh means you have all the wrong priorities in your life. In the Message, it says it this way. I said to myself, let's go for it. Experiment with pleasure. Have a good time. But there was nothing to it, nothing but smoke. What do I think of the fun-filled life? Insane, inane. My verdict on the pursuit of happiness, who needs it? With the help of a bottle of wine, so he's going, ah, with the help of a bottle of wine and all the wisdom I could muster, I tried my level best to penetrate the absurdity of life. That was the issue. He really is just trying to find some meaning in his life. He said, I wanted to get a handle on anything useful we mortals might do during the years we spend on this earth. And so our better self, it means we do really care. We really care about spiritual wealth. We really do care about doing the best we can to stay as well and healthy as God's purposes in our lives need us to be. My father, he'd always go on about white death. He's talking about sugar. And I'd drink, as a young guy, Coca-Cola. the whole deal. No diet stuff for me then. And so I'd have a sip of Coca-Cola out of the bottle and my father would say, that stuff will take 5 years off your life. And I'd be like, 5 years, it's worth it. I don't quite think like that anymore, by the way. 5 years is a long time. So if you neglect your body, it will affect your spirit and impact on your mental health. It really does affect everything. When we get down on ourselves, we don't like ourselves, the way perhaps we're feeling, the way we're looking. You can do something about it. Proverbs 3 verse 7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. It'll keep you happy when we put God first and we really do look after the temple He's given us. Well, when I exercise, I notice, which is not enough, but I notice I feel more alive. Everything comes alive. Your thoughts crystallize. In other words, you think more clearly. I do know this. You have to sow energy if you want to reap energy. So I've talked about spiritual wealth. I've talked about your better self. And now number three, your mental health. It seems to be such a big deal right now. And of course, there's real concerns about people's mental condition in the current situation, where people can feel alone, can feel isolated, can feel vulnerable. Look, I'm not a psychologist, but I think maybe if I awarded myself a PhD, it would be in this thing called life. Because I've been watching people and living my life for 66 years. On that, by the way, Bobby and I went to get a flu injection the other day, and the doctor, he looks at Bobby and he looks at me and says, oh, you're going to need a stronger injection. And I'm like, what? He says, yeah, it's slightly more potent because you're a senior citizen. My wife's 63, I'm 66. And so she's obviously still a young, a senior citizen. Come on it now. And so, yeah, I've lived a bitter life now. And I know there's so many things. Like I say, I'm not a psychologist, but I know there's so many damaging beliefs that people can hold on to. For example, I am a past. No, you're not. Maybe you have a past. Maybe it involved terrible abuse. Maybe horrible bullying. Maybe stuff that's really had an impact on you. But believe me, you are not your past. You are who God says you are. Well, many people, these are the things I think lead to being in poor mental condition. I am my past. I'm not good enough. See, there's a lie from the pit of hell, and this is where social media, and particularly perhaps for young people, is you start thinking, I'm not good enough, I don't measure up. Let's be careful of these traps. Or maybe you think, I can't see any way forward. There's a loss of hope, you can't see any future. Just literally overwhelmed by hopelessness. You know, the enemy loves to play on these things, loves to put them into people's hearts and loves to put them into people's minds. I'm fearful of what might happen. Anxiety, worry, stress. Let's be honest, we all, if we allow ourselves, are very vulnerable when it comes to stress. But we're worried about what hasn't happened yet often. That's why I've been talking about Isaiah chapter 7. When the NIV translation of the Bible, Ahaz is fearing, and the people, they're fearing attack. All these armies are coming against them. But the word of the Lord was, it will not happen. It will not come to pass. Keep telling yourself that. It will not happen. It will not come to pass. Or another thing that people have is, nobody loves me. Just a sense of loneliness. Maybe thinking that you are almost like a nuisance to people around and about you. You lack encouragement and you have these feelings of abandonment, maybe. Maybe you genuinely have been abandoned. But don't let the devil's lies determine the way you feel or the way you think. Our mental health is important. See, if we're spiritually alive, I genuinely think it affects all these things. And so, what's that look like? I think David really had his own struggles with mental health. He talked about his anxiety. He said, soul, why are you disquieted? Why are you so anxious within me? In Psalm 142, He really lays it out. I'll go through it quickly as I come toward an end of this message. But in verse 2, this is what David says, I pour out my complaint before God. In other words, he was feeling negative. In verse 3, my spirit was overwhelmed within me. He was feeling totally overwhelmed. In verse 3 again, they have secretly set a snare for me. I mean, paranoid. They're out to get me. Well, the truth is, they had set a snare for him. But still, listen to his condition at the time. Verse 4, there's no one who acknowledges me. He's saying, who really cares about me? And it goes on, verse 4, refuge has failed me. I've got nowhere to hide. I've got nowhere to go. In verse 4, no one cares for my soul. Who really cares about me? And in verse 6, listen, attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. David, he lists everything in terms of the way he was feeling. And he talked and confessed to being very low. But he knew how to fight back. Do we know how to fight back? Do you know how to fight back when the enemy starts telling you you're not good enough, that you don't measure up, all of those things? Listen, David says, the next verse after saying I was brought very low, verse 7, he said, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. He talks about three things as he believes God to bring his soul out of prison, his thinking, his emotions, his feeling. He asked God to bring him out of prison. But then he says this, that I may praise your name. Again, the power of praise. Praise is so critical at a time like this. Maybe if you're pregnant right now and you're going to have a little boy, call him Judah. Because Judah means praise. I'm not really telling you what to name your son. Brian would be a much better thing to name him. Listen, so he praised. He says, I'm believing my soul's coming out of prison. I'm going to praise your name. Then he says, the righteous shall surround me. In other words, the power of connection. He knew the importance of connection. And then he finally speaks and shows faith in God's promise, for you shall deal bountifully with me. I love that. He goes from I am brought very low to all of a sudden confessing that I'll praise your name. The righteous, the people of God shall surround me. I'm staying connected. I'm staying gathered, even though right now we're gathering just like we are here. And finally, I have faith in God's promises. You deal bountifully with me. Let's cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Let's decide in this season, I'm coming through these days and I'm going to be spiritually alive. I have spiritual wealth no matter what's going on when it comes to my own finances. I'm believing for my better self. I'm looking after my condition. I'm looking after this temple, this vessel, this body that God gave me. And finally, mental health. Thank you, Father, that you keep me well. You keep me strong. You fill my mind, my heart, my spirit with peace. Amen. Amen. So Lord, I pray you use that word, even now, that it connects with people, that it helps people, Father, that it helps them to step up into all that you have for them. And we thank you in Jesus' name. I want to take one moment only, and we've got a little bit more coming up in the service. But listen carefully. I really pray that you know the answers that are available to you in Jesus Christ. The Bible's so clear that if you'll ask Jesus into your life, make a decision, a conscious decision, to ask Christ into your life, he'll come in and he'll live in you. Well, I'm going to lead people in a prayer right now. And I pray you'll let me include you in my prayer, a prayer of faith, a prayer of salvation, a prayer of trust in Jesus. We're going to do that right now. And then maybe there are people who you prayed a prayer like that, and maybe you even were in church, but when I talked about being spiritually alive, being on fire for God, you're far from there. In fact, it seems like God now is a very, very distant part of your life. Maybe you're making choices that are not building God's purposes into your life, life choices. Maybe you're just feeling cold. What a perfect day to come back to Jesus at the center. So I'm going to pray this prayer. I'll pray it slowly, because I want you to pray it along with me. I'm going to believe today Jesus is going to touch your life. Let's pray these words. Dear Jesus, this is the moment I surrender ownership of my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of you, Jesus, from this moment, my sins are forgiven. I'm a child of God, a new creation, a follower of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love and grace. Thank you for your forgiveness and mercy. I am a believer. Jesus is alive in me. Amen. Did you pray that prayer? Did you pray that prayer? Did you decide it's time to get right with God, to put your trust in Him? If so, well, I hope we can see you continue on from here into all that God's got for you. Amen. Thanks so much.